We're actually going to tear into this next week, Lord willing, and we're going to be dealing primarily with three subjects. One, I'm going to backtrack a little bit, and Brother Gene has given us some of the verses about sin, and I'd like to take a whole session on what is sin, and actually we're going to start that in a moment. And then I'd like to talk about the subject of fellowship. What is true Christian fellowship? And then thirdly, we want to look at the word love. That's my favorite subject. L-U-V, love. Oh, might have had something wrong there. But you know what? Love is of God. And I think sometimes we fail to understand God's love. And therefore, we aren't the channels of it that God expects us to be. And so we're going to be talking about love. But I said a moment ago, 1 John has much to say about sin. And John recognized fully that you absolutely cannot live for God without knowing God. But if you don't know God, then you are a sinner. Now, for us as Christians, it's hard for us to admit it, but we are sinners. How many of you believe that? We are sinners. Amen. All right. And you see, that's a very humbling thing. It's a very humbling experience to come to that place where you say, I am a sinner. And to be very honest with you, that's why many, many people do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, after all, good people don't need to be saved from sin. Amen? That's kind of the thinking that's out there. But we are sinners saved by grace, and that's the big difference. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Even Christians sin. We need to have that in our minds. 1 John 2:1, John says, my little children. What is he doing? He's giving us a little description of who were all in the family of Christ in that particular time. In particular, those that he ministered to, whether he did personally or whether he did by letter. But for today, we are God's little children. And we are all part of the family of God. So he says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye what? That ye sin not. Now, Christians sin, and yet at the same time, God's word says that we sin not. And if any man sin, then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Brother Gene said that Jesus Christ is our defense lawyer. I like what he said. He said he can get you off. I kept that in my mind. Do you keep those little things in your mind when people say certain things? But the word advocate here is a very interesting word. It is the same word used in John's gospel for the Spirit of God. And it is translated several ways. Sometimes it just literally means one called alongside to help. So the word is sometimes translated helper, sometimes intercessor, sometimes counselor, and probably our favorite one would be the Comforter. He is our comforter. Now, the key question that I want to really address next week, we'll get into it big time, what is sin? And we all have our ideas about what it is. And actually, 1 John gives us two or three different definitions of actually what sin is. But perhaps the most familiar definition would be something like this. It's that little mistake that we make. Or it's that very ugly, glaring, filthy thing that your neighbor does when he does the same thing that you did. Does that make sense? Why do we look at it that way? And I wonder if it's not for that reason that the Lord Jesus Christ said, why do you behold the mote or the speck that's in your brother's eye, but fail to consider the beam that's in your own eye, Matthew 7:3? Actually, we have one of the same problems that sinners have. And I'm referring to sinners in the sense of the unsaved here. We are still sinners. We're just saved by grace. We have the same problem. Say, which problem is it? We don't like to admit it when it's in our lives. And there's a second part of that. We don't like to think about or even have someone suggest or even consider the seriousness of sin when a brother in Christ sins. How many of you are golfers? Any of you? No golfers in this group?
Praise God.
Man. I think I've sinned. We know about it. I had the privilege of pastoring a church for 18 years where there was a PGA golf course. And so there were folks at our church who worked there, and I had the privilege many times of golfing on that golf course, absolutely free, by the way. But they would call up and say, hey, there's a tournament. Come on over. We're going to hit, say, after 3 o'clock. So we'd play 18 holes in the summertime between that time, and actually there was 36 holes on that golf course. Sometimes we paid as many as 27. But sometimes we get some of the guys in the church together, and we just have a great time of fellowship out there on the golf course. So if it's okay for fellowship, is it still sinful? All right, we're backtracked. Okay, for those of you who watched golf on TV one time or another, I want you to get the picture that I'm going to try to draw in front of you here. I'm standing here, and we'll pretend this is the green. The doors back there are exactly 235 yards. You have to imagine this, okay? Now, I put the ball on the tee, and what they say you're supposed to do then is you're supposed to address the ball. So you say, hi, ball. And you address the ball. But here's what you do. You pick up your club, and you look at 235 yards, and you hold your club right like that towards that hole. And you think to yourself, that's doable. You can do that. 235 yards is not that far. So you get ready, and you line it all up, and you come through with almost the perfect swing. Now, not perfect, but almost the perfect swing. And what you do, that ball goes up in the air, and it comes down, and it lands within 1 or 2 feet of the hole. Amen? That's what you want, okay? Now, suppose something else. If when you come around, that ball is off by 1 degree, by the time it gets to the hole, you're going to be about 2+ yards away from the hole. Now, 1 degree is just a little tiny bit. It's sort of like that little tiny sin. Or you ever heard someone say, well, I didn't lie, just told a little white lie. You ever hear that? What if you're off 5 degrees? That's not very much. On a golf course, if you're an old duffer like I am, you're just very happy if you're only off 5 degrees. But the problem is, at 5 degrees, by the time you're out 235 yards, you're now out 20-plus yards. You know what that means? You're either in the woods or you're in the water. There's no other choice. So what do? You have to take a ball in when you get down there. But with sin, if you're only off by this much, you don't know where you're going to be off down the road. And when we tend to excuse sin up front at the 1 degree mark, you ever heard this statement? What you excuse in moderation, your children will excuse in what? Excess. But it's only 1 degree. And then you look in some families, and you hear we're good Christian people in your church, and all of a sudden, they're not sitting in the front row anymore, and they're now in the fifth row, and then in the back row, and then all of a sudden, I haven't seen the Joneses lately. Anybody seen the Joneses? And the next thing you know, they're in divorce court, and you say, wait a minute, how could this happen? He was a deacon. I was out witnessing one afternoon along the Detroit River. If any of you know that area, I think it's called Ecorse down at the end of Southfield. And there's a park there, and all these people just sit in the park, and they're watching the boats go by. And there's a lot of ships that pass through that area into the various factories, etc. But I talked to this one man about the Lord, and he was sitting on a bench, and he had this great big bottle of, I don't even know if they make it anymore, it was called E&B beer. But got chatting with him about his relationship to the Lord, and lo and behold, he told me he was a Christian. And I talked to him a little further and found out he was a former deacon of one of the finest churches in the city of Detroit. And there he was in that condition, far, far from the Lord. The most common word for sin, a little Greek word called harmatia, or quite often when you see it in the Bible, it's going to be harmatano. And it is perhaps the most common word. And next week I'm going to give you a little handout and you'll be filling in the blanks. I'm going to have 20 different definitions of sin. But I'd like you to think about that between now and next week. What is sin? But the most common word is taken from those two words, and it's normally, we usually refer to it just as sin, or sometimes we will say an offense. But that one little tiny word has the most comprehensive meaning for explaining what sin is. And we usually use Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and what? Come short. So if we've all sinned and we've all come short, then what's the basic meaning of sin? Who can tell me? You're probably thinking about it.
Missing the mark.
What happens? I swing through, I miss the mark. Unless, of course, my name is Tiger Woods, then maybe I'm just about where I ought to be. Yeah, he's missed a lot of marks. He certainly has. I stepped onto a golf course in Florida with my father-in-law, and the golf, whatever the fella is there on the inside, said, you know what, I hate to send just two up. Could these gentlemen golf with you? So on the second hole, all we had were names, Harold, Bob, George. Okay, so each man looked, and there was nothing but water between here and the hole. And so the first guy hit the ball right smack in the water. The second guy hit the ball right smack in the water. My father-in-law got up, and he hit the ball down there. He said, I'm not going in the water, okay? And I got up there, and I said, you know what? That's an easy shot. I can be right on the green. So I got up and went right for the water, and I did. I hit it right smack in the water. But it was a line drive that hit in such a way that it went skip, 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 skip four times up on the green, and I was that far from the hole. Now, get you now, nobody knew who I was. I didn't know who they were. And this man said, I'll bet you're a preacher. Well, you know, I hope things like that show in other areas, but not necessarily that one. Well, to come short, for all have sinned and come short, then, is to miss the mark. And this points us to another major problem amongst Christians regarding sin. And that, again, is the fact that we don't often consider the seriousness of it, even when we're just one little degree off. Sin can be defined in many ways. Harold Lindzell, Woodbridge, in their little handbook of Christian truth, defines sin as failure to conform to the law of God. There are several Hebrew words in the Old Testament that could be translated sin, but the most common one means to deviate from the way. So in the Old Testament, the Jew thought of sin as deviating from God's way. Donald Gray Barnhouse states, anything that is not absolutely perfect is sin. And that fits well with God's standard as revealed in Matthew chapter 5:48. Anybody know what that standard is? God's word says, be ye therefore, what's the word?
Perfect.
Perfect. Whoa, that's tough. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So to sin is to miss the mark, to fall short of God's standard of perfection. And we usually think of sin in terms of doing or not doing, but in reality, it's more a matter of being and not being, because being and not being then translates into doing or not doing. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. I said to sin is to miss the mark. You know what the Old Testament equivalent of what we're going to be reading. It's from Leviticus 19:2. And it just simply says, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. God says that. Notice verses 15 and 16 of 1 Peter 1. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or you could say lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The main verb of 1 Peter 1:15, it's an imperative. Be ye holy. There are some who would say, well, does God have the right to make this command of us? And there's a little word in 1 Peter 1:15 that just grabbed my attention when I was reading that. So I'm going to call this next little section, and I'm going to end with this. I'm going to call it a quick little rabbit trail. But it is this little word called, be holy. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy. God called us. If you are born again this morning, it is because he called you. Go to 1 John chapter 3 for a moment. 1 John chapter 3. That's where we're going to be starting next week. And notice, this is a very incredible statement. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be what? Called. Wow. We are the children of God. But we were the children of the devil, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. But then God called us. One of the titles given to believers in the New Testament, we are the called ones. And you can find this over and over and over again in the New Testament. And we know, we quote these verses, we know that all things work together for good to them who are the what? The called. There's that word again. You say, wow, I never noticed that before. The called what? According to his purposes. You ever notice we get into a little jam? And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And we sort of forget the rest of it. To those who are the called according to his purposes. Am I walking according to his purposes? Is my lifestyle according to his purpose? Am I living in the way that he called me? He says in Isaiah chapter 43, I think it is, verse 7. He said, I've called you for my glory. I created you for my glory. Verse 21, I created you that you might praise me, God says in essence. Here's another one. Moreover, those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those whom he called, them he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. I'm not in my glorified state yet. Praise the Lord. But one day I'm going to be in a glorified state, and I'm going to say, praise the Lord. But that's the ultimate. He's called us, and he's going to take us to that very place where we will finally be glorified. And 1 John 3 again says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Part of the reason for my existence right now is to take the time day by day to grow in my relationship with God. And as I'm in the Word and as I'm walking as I'm supposed to walk, the Holy Spirit is making changes in my life to do what? And we know that all things work together for good to those who are the called. And then he says that we are to be conformed to what, class? Image of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says we're to be imitators of him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we look into the mirror of the Word and we see ourselves, but more we see him. And we are changed into his image. Philippians 2:5 says we're to have the mind of Jesus Christ. You see, I'm here for a duration of time so that God can be creating in me more and more and more his likeness. That's what the people at Antioch saw when the word Christian first was, canonized, came into being, the origin, we could say. Because they looked at those people and they said, well, they're just like that one they put on the cross. Who was they talking about? They said, well, they're just little Christs. Little Christs. Do people often think of us as little Christs? 1 Corinthians 1:9 reads, God is faithful by whom ye were, what's the word? Called. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 states that God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Do you realize that you were called before you were out of your mother's womb? And Ephesians tells us you were called before the foundation of this world. That says something as to who I am. That says something as to what my character should be like. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 reveals that we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, please. Let's go over there and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 2. Think about this. If you are saved today, you know Christ is your Savior because you have been called. And 1 Peter 2:9 really zeroes in and gives us the reason as to why you were called. Notice it. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. That's what the non-Christians think about Christians. Well, they're strange. They're a bunch of oddballs. They're peculiar. This is by God's choosing. And notice the reason, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Why did I choose that verse? Because John in 1 John makes that broad contrast between darkness and light. And there's another description of the difference between sin and God's grace. We who walk in Jesus Christ walk in the light, but we used to walk in darkness. And we're going to leave it there today because that's the end of the hour. We're called once. We should say, oh, praise God, he called me. Amen? It's an exciting thing to be a part of the family of God. And we're going to stand before him one day. And 1 John 3 says we're going to be like him. We're finally going to achieve the fullness of what this life is all about, getting us prepared for that moment when we see Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's so practical. And sometimes we get our minds set in so many other things. And I pray as we look at the subjects of sin and fellowship and love, and even as we discuss a little further this matter of the Antichrist, I pray that it might not just be intellectual knowledge, but Father, I pray that it might be personal knowledge, knowledge that we can take and allow the Spirit of God to just mold us and make us more into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help that to always be our goal, day by day. I pray you might bless the service to follow now. Bless Brother Greg as he shares with us thy precious word. And I pray again that our hearts will be open to whatever you want to say to us. And Father, if there's changes we need to make, help us to be open and ready to make those changes. And I pray that you might be glorified thereby, recognizing that those changes are just steps towards becoming more and more like thyself. We praise you for that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.